It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy, oh boy. Hello, hello. Welcome, welcome, one and all. It is January 20th, 2022, and that means, hey, it's a Thursday. Which is always a good day. Traditionally, Thursday is my beer day. We went and had beers yesterday because in my area, we had a strong cold front come through. And it was, I don't know, like 27, 27 and a half outside yesterday. It was like in the 80s. So, 80s in Fahrenheit. So, we decided, oh, we'll go have some beers on the patio as opposed to going out on Thursday, because today it is closer to zero Celsius. It's in the 30s today. So, bleh. Oh, welcome, welcome everyone in Calm, Unimagine, X1, thanks for being here. Pesco, thanks for being in on radio. See you later. And Publius, hello, welcome. And this is interesting. This is a fun weather phenomenon. Was mentioned here, we had thundersnow here in Munich a couple of hours ago. And thundersnow is really cool. So that's a nice little rare thing that happened. And anyway, I think that's cool. All right. Oh, I'm going to clear my throat real quick and then we'll start talking. All right. Sorry about that. I just ate lunch. I stir-fried some beef and noodles and everything. Vegetables. Light rain in Belgium, and Tin comes in reporting, X1 reporting on light rain, and Tin is here. So welcome, welcome. Thanks for being here. All right. Well, we actually start the way we always start, and that
world news.
That's right, world news. And we actually begin our world news in Belgium. Teenage pilot Zara Rutherford completes solo round world record. A teenage pilot has become the youngest woman to fly solo around the world following a 5-month challenge. Zara Rutherford, age 19, landed in Kortrijk, in Belgium. I'm saying that way wrong, but I'll post the name in com. Kortrijk, Wevelgem, in Belgium. 2 months later than planned as a result of adverse weather. During the trip, she spent a month stuck in Nome, Alaska, and 41 days in Russia. On her return to Belgium, the former pupil of St. Swithin's School, Winchester, was greeted by her family, journalists, and well-wishers. She was accompanied in her landing by 4 planes from the Belgian Red Devils aerobatic display team. After landing, she wrapped herself in British and Belgian flags and told reporters, "It's just really crazy. I haven't quite processed it yet." She told a press conference she was so glad she took on the challenge of flying 32,000 miles, or 51,000 kilometers. "The hardest part was flying over Siberia. It was extremely cold, and if the engine was to stall, I'd be hours away from rescue. I'm not sure I would have survived. I'm looking forward to telling people about my experiences, encouraging people to do something crazy with your life. If you have the opportunity, go for it." The circumnavigation included more than 60 stops across 5 continents and began on August 18th. The British-Belgian aviator, whose parents are both pilots, said she hoped to inspire other girls to get into STEM. Occupations. The challenge was made possible by sponsors, including her former school in Hampshire, and Shark, the Slovakian manufacturer of her Shark UL aircraft. Her former school was among the first to congratulate Zara, tweeting it was super proud of her achievement. Previously, the youngest woman to fly solo around the world was American Shasta Ways, who was 30 at the time of her challenge in 2017. The youngest male record holder was 18. As well as being the youngest woman to complete the challenge, Ms. Rutherford is the first woman to circumnavigate the world in a microlight, and the first Belgian to circumnavigate the world solo by air. The journey was expected to take 3 months, but numerous weather delays had a knock-on effect and caused her Russian visa to expire as the Siberian winter approached. When she arrived in Nome, only 3 out of 39 flights had gone to plan, and she had to wait while her passport was relayed by air to the Russian consulate in Houston. But even with her new visa, it was further 3 weeks before she could cross the Bering Strait. So, this is pretty neat. I thought it was kind of cool. Of course, anybody who's involved in flying stuff, or pilots and aircraft, all of that stuff is immensely expensive. Or you got to know the right people who also have a lot of money. That's been my experience with anything to do with things in the air. But I don't know. Maybe there are cheap airplanes out there. I don't know. Boobly is letting us know here, solo flying around the world is arguably safer than solo sailing. And Tin points out that that's a very small sample size, so you probably can't tell. So, X-1 nose rocket Tobe. That reminds me, the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe is coming up at 19:30 UTC, so stick around. If the news isn't for you, go make some tea and come back, and at 19:30, you'll be at home. All right, let's get into the sad stuff. Well, not all sad. We'll ease into it. Serbia backs out of controversial Rio Tinto lithium mine. Serbian authorities have abandoned plans to build a controversial lithium mine, the Prime Minister said Thursday, following weeks of protests against the project set to be built by Rio Tinto. The surprise U-turn from the government came months ahead of likely parliamentary elections, with President Aleksandar Vučić's administration looking to shore up support from voters following weeks of protests that gained traction across the Balkan country. We have fulfilled all the demands from the environmental protests and have put an end to Rio Tinto in the Republic of Serbia, said Premier Ana Brnabic during a televised address. I just need a drink there. Delicious water. Vast deposits of lithium, a key component for car batteries and other batteries. Lithium-ion batteries are the future, man. Iron phosphate or just iron. Those iron batteries are really good, too. But yeah, it's lithium mines are not always the coolest thing to have in your backyard. Anyway, vast deposits of lithium are found around the western town of Loznica, where the Anglo-Australian company had bought up land and was awaiting a final green light from the state to begin mining. Rio Tinto discovered lithium reserves in the Loznica region in 2006. The company intended to invest $2.4 billion in the project. Critics, however, accused the government of paving the way for illegal land appropriations and brushing aside environmental concerns. This is from France 24. We read a story whenever this was proposed about all the small towns that were going to have to be relocated when this was going to happen. So, you could point it and say, oh, it's a political ploy, but you could also kind of point out the government was going to give them several towns, and the towns were just going to get flattened. So, anyway, we'll keep on moving. Let's talk about Prince Andrew. Ugh, well, I don't want to talk about royals, or British royals for sure. Well, this is just to let you know, Canada's Prince Andrew High School announces a plan to change its name. A Canadian high school named after the Duke of York has announced plans to rename itself in an attempt to distance itself from the growing controversy surrounding the Queen's second son. The principal of Prince Andrew High School in the province of Nova Scotia told families on Wednesday to expect the change as the school looks for a name that upholds our values as a safe and inclusive place, or space. The name of the school should be reflective of our community. Our hope is to continue to build our identity as a positive, supportive, and respectful community with a name to match. The high school, of nearly 800 students, was named in 1960 to commemorate the birth of Prince Andrew. While most students call the school PA, the recent accusations against the Duke of York mean the name is no longer tenable, the school said. So, that's a heads up there. Now let's talk about the Ukraine. Now this is some heavy stuff. We got a couple of stories with this sprinkled out. Ukraine's president Volodymyr Zelensky has hit back at comments made by his U.S. counterpart Joe Biden about a minor incursion by Russia into his country. Mr. Biden has suggested that a minor attack might bring a weaker response from the U.S. and its allies. But Mr. Zelensky's tweeted, "There are no minor incursions, just as there are no minor casualties and little grief from the loss of loved ones. Russia has some 100,000 troops near the border, but denies planning an invasion. President Putin has made a series of demands to the West, insisting Ukraine should never be allowed to join NATO, and that the Defensive Alliance abandon military activity in Eastern Europe." On Wednesday, President Biden told a news conference that Mr. Putin would pay a serious and dear price for invading Ukraine, but also indicated that it might depend on how Russia went about it. What you're going to see is that Russia will be held accountable if it invades, and it depends on what it does, he said. It's one thing if it's a minor incursion, and then we end up having to fight about what to do and not do. His comments prompted questions over how the U.S. might respond to Russian aggression, and officials have been rushing to clarify their position. "We've been very clear throughout," U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said on Thursday, adding that any Russian incursion into Ukraine would be met with a swift, severe, and united response. In a speech on Thursday, Mr. Biden himself said the any entry of Russian troops would count as an invasion. So, we'll see what happens. Joe Biden is famous for making gaffes or saying things that are totally opposite of what he means or what the administration meant. So we'll see. We'll see. If we go to Al Jazeera for the news, we can find that the U.S. and its Western allies have insisted they will be united in responding strongly to any incursion into Ukraine. U.S. Secretary of State said new acts of aggression from Moscow towards its neighbor would be met with a swift, severe, united response, which we just said. Ursula von der Leyen, chief of the European Union's executive arm, said the bloc would respond to any Russian incursions into Ukraine with massive economic and financial sanctions. "The transatlantic community stands firm in this," she said. So, Nord Stream 2 threat. This is what I wanted to get out of this story to you guys. Repeated rounds of economic sanctions on Russia since it annexed the Crimean Peninsula and supported a separatist revolt in the country appear to have had a scant effect on the Kremlin's approach towards its neighbor so far. Moscow, Europe's main energy supplier, has long calculated that the West would stop short of steps serious enough to interfere with gas exports. But U.S. and European officials say there are still strong financial measures that have not been tried. Germany signaled on Tuesday that it could halt Nord Stream 2, a new gas pipeline from Russia that skirts Ukraine, if Moscow invades again. Russia denies it's planning an attack, insisting it has the right to remove its troops on its own territory as it sees fit, and blames the U.S. and NATO for the deteriorating security in the region instead. So, yep, it's a kind of tit for, you know, he said, she said kind of BS. But that's kind of what we'd expect in this kind of a standoff. We'll just have to wait and see who blinks first. The U.S.'s guy is named Blinken, so I'm not sure if that means that he will blink. All right. Well, what else is going on? Well, that's all the kind of feel bad kind of thing. Well, I want to tell you something about death. 10 has a fact about Germany from Com. Fun fact, Germany has zero LNG terminals. That's liquid natural gas terminals. Now that's forward thinking. All right, so let's talk about death. We have to mention death. That's kind of a requirement. Sorry, microphone blip. X1 letting us know, Europe will no longer buy the Soviet gas. Time to invest in Exxon. Millions are dying from drug-resistant infections, Global Report says. We have to mention death and mass death at least once in the show. It's just required. More than 1.2 million people died worldwide in 2019 from infections caused by bacteria resistant to antibiotics, according to the largest study of the issue to date. This is more than the annual death toll from malaria or AIDS. Poorer countries are worst affected, but antimicrobial resistance threatens everyone's health, the report says. Urgent investment in new drugs and using current ones more wisely are recommended to protect against it. The overuse of antibiotics in recent years for trivial infections means they are becoming less effective against serious infections. People are dying from common, previously treatable infections because the bacteria that caused them have become resistant to treatment. UK health officials recently warned antimicrobial resistance, or AMR, was a hidden pandemic that could emerge in the wake of COVID-19 unless antibiotics were prescribed responsibly. So, this is going to be rough. The estimate of global deaths from AMR, published in The Lancet, is based on the analysis of 204 countries by a team of international researchers led by the University of Washington, U.S. They calculated up to 5 million people died in 2019 from illnesses in which AMR played a role, on top of the 1.2 million deaths it caused directly. In the same year, AIDS is thought to have caused 860,000 deaths, and malaria 640,000. I guess it's to give us context on how many deaths there are. Most of the deaths were caused by lower respiratory infections, such as pneumonia and bloodstream infections. MRSA, which is often called MRSA, is methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus, or that's the antibiotic-resistant staph infection that you can get. It's particularly deadly, while E. coli and several other bacteria were also linked to high levels of drug resistance. All right, I have some lighter news here, and then we'll play a song, because I don't know about you, but this guy, I keep hearing him while I'm trying to read the news.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
And, it just bugs me. He's just
get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
I want to hear the music. All right, so here we go. We're talking about football. Football? Yes, international football. Ivory Coast thump title holders of Algeria 3-1, kicking them out of the Africa Cup of Nations. That's right. This is a big upset. The Ivory Coast crushed an abject Algeria 3-1 on Thursday, with Nicolas Pepe among the scorers as the reigning champions crashed out of the Africa Cup of Nations in the group stage. Frank Kessie and Ibrahim Sangare scored in the first half of the Elephants in Douala, while Pepe added another goal after the break as the Ivory Coast secured top spot in Group E. Riyad Mahrez hit the post with a second-half penalty before Sofiane Bendebka pulled one back for Algeria with their first goal since arriving in Cameroon, but by then it was too late. It is the fifth time in the last six Cup of Nations that the reigning champions have failed to make the AFCON knockout phase, but there has arguably never been a worse title defense. So tough luck, Algeria. Better luck next year. And Vincent Aboubakar, Cameroon's goal-scoring powerhouse, taking football by storm. Previously a little-known figure among many football fans, Cameroon striker Vincent Aboubakar has become the star of the 2022 African Cup of Nations. Aboubakar is by a long way its top goal scorer so far, boasting five formidable goals. France 24 takes a look back at his career. And you can check that out at France 24 if you want to. It's got a whole nice thing going on. But I just wanted to mention that. We got a couple more stories, but before we do that, let's play a song. This is I'm the Slime from the Mothers, reminding you, don't watch too much TV.
For I am destined to rule and regulate you. that. Have you guessed me yet? I'm the slime oozing out from your TV set. You will obey me while I lead you into the garbage that I feed you until the day that we don't need you. Don't go for help, no one will heed you. Your mind is totally controlled. It has been stuffed into my mold, and you will do as you are told until the rights to you are sold.
Anon Radio is your non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System.
That's right. You're listening to Anon Radio, which is powered by SDF. And SDF, well, my friends, that's powered by you. So thank you so much for being here and listening and hanging out. It's a good time. I placed an order, and I got a shipment notification, so I'm making sure I save that tracking number real quick. I don't know what the Japanese is, but the subtitle says it's Tommy Wiseau Wave 1 and 2. Not sure what this means. So anyway, more power to SDF. Hey, and Tobe arrives. All right, we got about 7 minutes to go, so that reminds me. Be sure and stick around at 1930 UTC. Every single day is the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. Definitely want to check that out if you haven't heard it before. It's pretty cool. All right, so let's get going. We got a lot of news. The most important thing, Havana Syndrome. If you haven't heard about it, don't worry. Apparently, it wasn't caused by the Russians or the Cubans. Havana Syndrome. Most cases not caused by foreign power. That's correct, Tin. I don't know. I'll have to dig up the stuff. I just bought the record because it had Tommy Wiseau's photo on it. Hold on, I'll tell you. Do radio. Okay. Qingdao Market has put this out, so I'm not sure what the story is. I just wanted to support the particular motherboard place. Hold on, let's see. Yeah, they've got a whole... Oh, wow. Don't focus! I start looking at records. Danger zone, right? Super danger zone. Must be on your end, man. Oh no. Maybe on Otaku. Tobe was asking what's up with the comm lag, and I'm going to blame Otaku, the host that he likes to connect to, on the cluster he connects from. Alright, well, what else is happening? Facebook shut down in Burkina Faso due to security reasons. Authorities in Burkina Faso say they have blocked access to Facebook for security reasons. Government spokesman Al-Qassoum Maiga said the government did not have to comment on the cause of the blockade, which began on January 10th and continues. Omega Radio quoted the spokesman as saying, "I think that if we have a choice between letting insecurity spread and taking measures that allow us to maintain a minimum control over the situation, then the choice seems clear to us that the national interest must take precedence. On January 11th, the government announced the arrest of 8 soldiers in connection with a development which the country's media described as a coup attempt. Internet rights group NetBlock says that there was a significant internet outage on January 11th. The alleged killing of 53 people by suspected jihadists last November has sparked public outrage at the government and has heightened fears of a military coup in the country." So, draw from that what you will, it sounds like some folks were making some rude statements on Facebook and the government didn't like it. Or maybe they were planning a coup on Messenger. Who knows? Anyway, you can't use Facebook in Burkina Faso. And if you are into or curious about liquid natural gas or petroleum, jump on in to Calm. We are having a lively discussion. Definitely super fun. One of the world's newest green energy sources. So, what else is happening? Well, we're going to hurry up and find out. Democrats fail to advance voting rights law as Senate holdouts defend filibuster. Yep, that's true. Senate Democrats failed again to pass sweeping new voting protections on Wednesday in what may be the most brutal blow yet to efforts to strengthen protections for voters at a perilous moment for U.S. democracy. Just as they've done 4 other times in recent months, all 50 Republicans united in their opposition to the measure. They relied on the filibuster, a Senate rule that requires 60 votes to advance legislation to a vote. Despite heavy pressure from Joe Biden and fellow Democrats, 2 senators, Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, have dug in defending the measure, preventing Democrats from getting rid of it. In a rebuke to Biden, Sinema gave a speech on the Senate floor last week, making it clear she would not support changes to the filibuster. Manchin has also consistently made his support clear. "I will not vote to eliminate or weaken the filibuster." The filibuster plays an important role in protecting... I'm not going to quote him. Their opposition set up a showdown as the ultimately doomed bill was taken up for discussion on Wednesday. Late in the evening, Republicans used the filibuster to vote to end debate on the bill, effectively blocking it from advancing. Immediately afterwards, Democrats moved to hold a vote to try and change the filibuster rules anyway. The effort failed 52-48, with Manchin and Sinema voting with all 50 Republicans to preserve the filibuster. Sinema loudly said aye when it was her turn to vote in favor of preserving the changes. So anyway, I'm not even going to go into it. It'll agitate me. So this is a fun story. It's hard to talk about meat, dairy, or egg farming without talking about poop. Manure plays a big role on American factory farms, and if not properly managed, it can quickly turn into a big problem. Each year in the U.S., livestock animals produce between 1.27 and 1.37 billion tons of waste, or somewhere between 3 and 20 times more manure than people produce in the U.S. That's partly why devices that take manure and turn it into energy are catching on. It's a way to manage waste and reduce methane emissions on farms. All that waste has got to go somewhere, and many of the existing options aren't great for us or the government. Manure from animal agriculture is a primary source of nitrogen and phosphorus pollution in the U.S. waterways, making water undrinkable and causing algal blooms that kill wildlife. Manure is also a significant source of greenhouse gas emissions. So, yeah, that's a huge problem. What's going to happen? Well, who knows? Anaerobic digesters are being looked at, but it is something that we don't have enough time to go through the whole story. It's over there at The Guardian if you want to read it. But it's very interesting because biogas and animal waste is just producing all of this burnable fuel that we're not using. And a kind of happy story. A rare in Kenya, a pair of elephant twins was born. An elephant has given birth to twins in Kenya's north in a moment rarely witnessed among the endangered species. Conservationists call the moment unique, said on Thursday... On Thursday, they said an elephant had given birth to twins in Kenya's north. Conservation group Save the Elephants said the twins were born to a mother named Bora and were first spotted by lucky tourists on safari drive at the weekend in Samburu Reserve. So, that's all the time we got today. Tomorrow will be Friday, and then it'll be the weekend. Hooray! Anyway, please stick around for the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow, and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.